Welcome to Radio Dale, the podcast for independent musicians produced by Dale Speaking.
We are one of Canada's top radio promotions and digital music marketing companies.
Radio Dale features fun music facts, inside information about the music industry, and advice for artists.
Hello, Dale Speaking, this is India.
Dale Speaking, this is Will.
Dale Speaking, this is Amber.
Ring, ring, Dale Speaking.
I don't want to be here alone anymore.
I know.
I told you my story about coming to get the camera.
Yeah, and my computer turned on.
Her computer just goes, bitsy, and turns on. I'm like, that's weird. So I go to get the camera, and I just start hearing from the bathroom, like,
oh.
So I'm like,
I'm done. Leaves the camera.
I just throw it into the bathroom and run away.
Welcome to Radio Dale number 67.
This week in music history, happy birthday, Roy Orbison. Singing again. Amber.
On who charted the CBC Searchlight finalists in Whitehorse.
On Rue's 60-second tip of the week, Facebook fan pages.
This week's song, Rebel Sons with a new single.
And on our roundtable, we're discussing rock radio in TO, also known as Toronto.
Toronto. Yay! Woo-hoo! So let's get into this beast.
This beast of a podcast.
This beast of a podcast. Number 67. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Congratulations on
67.
Yes.
Pat it on the back.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, let's get into This Week in Music History, where we look at music history.
It's pretty
happened
solid.
This week.
It's so self-explanatory, but we still insist on explaining. Okay, so April 17th, 1998. Unfortunately, it's a sad day. Mm. It is the day or the anniversary of Linda McCartney's passing.
Oh no.
Who was married to Paul McCartney. They got married in 1969 when she was working as a photographer. And she was a member of Wings. She was an animal rights campaigner, and she also launched her own brand of vegetarian food. And I think it was around the Beatles reunion special that I actually kind of looked up more about her. And I think it was because Paul was talking about her, or mm-hmm. there was a special, I don't know what it was that drew me to her,
yeah.
But Paul was, I think, that was like his life.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of those things where when she passed, he was, yeah, because yeah. So, they were so perfect.
And they were on The Simpsons together. There was an episode where they voiced characters of themselves, so it's pretty cool.
Go Paul.
April 18th, 1984, keeping with the positive sentiment, Michael Jackson underwent surgery in Los Angeles to repair damage done after his hair caught fire during the filming of a Pepsi commercial.
We all remember that.
I remember that one, actually.
And there's video footage.
Yeah.
Even better.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. There are some people that say that was sort of a downhill moment for him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was a conspiracy.
A conspiracy. No,
the Illuminati.
It affected him. He got a little crazy after that. The Illuminati is after him.
Look, that's when he started the whole, like,
weird.
Yeah, he started going through a lot of surgeries at that point.
Yeah.
He looked very different after that incident.
Wasn't it like he was on drugs from it too? Painkillers?
Yes.
Something to do with painkillers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's dead now, so that's
not. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh.
We had to throw one of those in there. It's been a while.
We do.
Yeah. April 19th, 1986. Prince started a 2-week run at number one on the U.S. singles chart with Kiss. And he also had the number two song, Manic Monday, by the Bengals, which he wrote under the pseudonym Christopher.
Isn't his real name Christopher? Okay.
Well, it's a pseudonym, so I don't know.
His real name isn't Prince.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Prince Christopher?
I believe he lives in Toronto, too. His girlfriend's from Toronto, so.
Who's his girlfriend?
I don't know.
How old is she?
My age, I don't know. Me.
What's her name?
Maybe. Rue?
It's me.
Rue is dating Prince. How do we not know? April 20th, 2002.
Mm.
In the dispute over who owned the rights to Nirvana's recordings, former members Dave Grohl and Kurt Novoselic asked a Seattle court to prove that Courtney Love was mentally stable. Good luck with that. They told the court that Love was irrational, mercurial, self-centered, unmanageable, inconsistent, and unpredictable. They also claimed a contract was invalid because Love was stoned at the time. That sounds like... And then, just recently at the induction, there's a picture of Dave Grohl and Courtney Love hugging.
Hugging, yeah. So they seem to have made...
Time heals all.
Some ways. Kind of amends. I think my favorite Courtney Love moment was she broke into an interview that was going on. I think it was Madonna. Or somebody. There was an artist being interviewed, and she crashed the interview first by throwing her shoe up to get their attention, then coming up, and she actually fell out of her chair while they were interviewing.
And she flashed David Letterman.
Yeah, she's done a lot of crazy things. I like
drugs.
Her. I kind of miss Hole, actually. I really like that band. I used to listen. April 21st, 1990. Quiet.
Nothing.
Another crazy musician. I shouldn't say crazy. She's kind of wild.
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor, she started a 4-week run at number one on the US singles chart with her version of the Prince song.
What?
That's two Prince? That's actually three Prince songs.
That's
to take
three
angles.
Songs in this week.
Nothing Compares to You. One way you can tell it's a Prince song, when it's spelled in the Sinead O'Connor album, it's
U.
The number two and the letter U. So he always did that. He used numbers and letters to replace words.
I didn't know he wrote that song.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the original version is pretty good with him singing it.
Way to go, Prince.
Way to go, Prince. I'll tell him tonight about your feelings.
Hey, baby. Amber.
Honey.
Yeah.
Amber likes it.
Amber likes it.
Oh, Jesus.
Can you come in and sing to her?
No.
I'm going to tell him that, too. Let's continue.
On April 22nd, 1991, the Dave Matthews Band played their first ever live show, where they appeared at the Earth Day Festival in Charlottesville, Virginia. I guess that means that April 22nd is also Earth Day.
In this week
in music history.
And they're hippies, and they've been hippies since day one.
Yes.
Attracting hippies to their hippie concert.
You missed one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh yes,
Dave Matthews, the main
the main
yeah. And finally,
yes.
April 23rd, the end of this week, 1936, born on this day,
yay.
Roy Orbison.
He had a huge range, eh?
He did.
Like
low
notes,
like, well,
and blue. Ah.
Way to go, Roy Orbison. Way to be.
Member of the Traveling Wilburys, and also just a very cool songwriter.
Cool.
Yay! Yeah. I think it's time for Who Charted.
This is the segment of the podcast where we like to tell you what's going on different musical charts.
Mm-hmm.
It could be radio related, it could be iTunes, it could be a whole bunch of different things that have to do with music. But this week we are going to look at not so much of a chart, but a list of finalists in the CBC Searchlight competition. So that's a competition that we've noted on a different podcast about a little contest that artists should enter. Because at the end of it, you could win $20,000 and a whole bunch more fun stuff. So we're in a round right now in the CBC Searchlight competition where there are finalists from over 24 regions all across Canada. And here are the finalists from Whitehorse.
Sweet.
Because we don't pay enough attention to people in Whitehorse.
We don't.
No.
I have a funny story after you're done.
Cool. So I'm going to list the artist name first and then their song that's nominated because it's by song. So we've got Noosa with I Like It This Way, Fawn Fritzon Under My Skin, Kate Weeks Bonnet Plume Lake, Diet When You Were King, Speed Control Riverside, Joey O'Neill Play Dumb, Fishhead Stew You Ain't My Baby Anymore,
good name.
The Naysayers Hope, Old Cabin Lighthouse, and Carl Schultz and the Hanging Wall Project Obsession.
They should win.
I don't know.
For longest name.
For good names, I like Old Cabin as well. That's good.
I
like the last one.
Carl Schultz and the Hanging Wall Project.
Yeah. Because that's ridiculous. We gotta look that one up.
Yeah, I think we do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We work with one artist two artists.
Well,
same band
finals.
That
yeah.
are in the finals in Toronto. Called the Lovelocks, and they have a song called Dance that's nominated. So this round ends on April 21st, and you can go to CBC in the search and go to Searchlight and vote for
Excellent.
Your favorite songs.
Vote every day.
Yep.
Every day.
And you can vote in each market.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go through Whitehorse, Toronto, Kitchener, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can pick a market and just find a song you like and vote for them because it's based on the song.
I think I'm putting my money on Old Cabin.
And I put my money on the hanging picture project.
Hanging wall, whatever.
Hanging things on walls.
That's the name of the band, right?
Yeah.
I was actually talking to somebody that it would be so cool to play shows in like White Horse and Yellowknife, just to go up and play up there and eat Kalaweet and stuff, like hit the territories. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So maybe I should talk to some of these people.
Yeah.
They'd love me to go up and play a cover of Call Me Maybe or something before their show.
Opening now for the Hanging Pictures people,
Rue and Prince.
That's
all right. So it is time for the 60-second tip of the week. Last week, I think I came in like a second over. But we were talking last week in the show about Google Plus, Pinterest, Wikipedia, sort of not the big three, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So I thought, why not give some tips for your Facebook fan page? Because we haven't really touched on that. A lot of people kind of know how to use one because they use it a lot. But here's some tips. Number one, for your cover, make sure you use a high-res pic or an image and make sure it's relevant to the band so that people see you up there. You can promote releases or tours and all that kind of stuff, but also make sure you have non-promotional covers and switch it up maybe once a month. Number two, for information, make sure your about is a short blurb describing you, not just a link to your website. For your bio, make sure that you follow the 5 W's, who, what, when, where, why. Keep it clear and make sure there are no typos. And for contact info, make it clear and easy to find your stuff so people know where your Bandcamp and SoundCloud and everything is. And for number three, for content, posts should be 80% fun, behind the scenes, image or video heavy, 20% promotion. So for every promotion one, do 4 fun ones. Make sure to respond when fans talk to you. Don't just leave them hanging. I always say it's like offering a high five and then walking away. And use tools, things like Bands in Town or Events for tour dates, Bandcamp for music streaming, rather than just constantly posting YouTube videos or tour dates. Keep the flood off of the page and use tools like that to keep people informed. So don't flood your Facebook page, but make sure that you are consistent. Facebook is really just a variation on a fan club. Treat your fans well on it. And that's it.
It's funny you mentioned the...
I should do that every time. Crumple it and throw it.
The About Us section, there was a band I was looking at the other day, and I went to their About Us because I wanted to know where they were from.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went, they clearly just copied and pasted their bio, but no formatting had been done. So it was one big... And the way they formatted, it's a very narrow column.
Just so it's just... Bleh.
It was this huge, long thing. And I just was like, saw it and was like, nope, don't care. And like moved away from it. Because I want in the about to be like, based out of blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of band formed in blah, blah, blah. Check out our tour dates here and things like that. Like,
I assume people are scanning. Like, they can go to your website to see your full bio.
Yeah, I'm going there to learn about you.
Yeah.
Like, your loves, your likes, your dislikes, your what you've done in your past.
Exactly.
But, like, the immediate details, that's what I want for me, personally, in the about.
No, and that's the best, because really Facebook is just a scan. Nobody wants to read a big block of text.
Mm-hmm.
There's one band out of Toronto called Pink Wine. I think there says snotty power punk. Or snotty power pop for their little blurb on the page.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect because that's what they sound like. So you read it, you're like snotty, and then you play it. You're like, he does sound a little snotty. And you're like, oh, I understand what this band's about.
Cool.
Just nice, quick, clear.
That's a big one for me because when I see a band name and don't know what music they play, because if I've only ever just seen their name, like I go to Facebook, the first thing I do to see what if they're folk, if they're rock, if they're whatever.
It lets you know.
So it's really important to say that and not something stupid.
It's a place where mystery doesn't help.
Yes.
Cool.
Yay. So do we have some music this week?
I think we do.
Amber.
What?
Wow.
We have a new single that we released this week from one of our favorite bands.
Yay.
And they're one of our favorite bands because we got them to number one.
Number one.
On rock radio. So Can't here we are rock. Once again with a new single. The band is called Rival Sons. And
doobie
if you're
doobie
not... Doobie-doo-doop. That's one of their singles there that Rue is singing in the background. Rival Sons out of Long Beach, California. As I mentioned, they have had a number one single here in Canada, which was Keep On Swinging. They've had another single out called Pressure and Time. Another one was called Until the Sun Comes. So, and they've done a bunch of tour dates already in Canada. And they have a couple of festival dates lined up this summer already. There's July 4th in Barrie. They're in Thunder Bay on the 5th. And there's a couple other things in the works. But Rival Sons are releasing a brand new album on June 10th called Great Western Valkyrie. And this is their fourth album. Mm-hmm. And they have an EP as well. So when it comes out, be sure to grab a copy. But right now, here is their brand new single, Open My Eyes.
Yeah. Too many people coming and a going in and out of my life. In the night, in the day, I got to make it on my own. Somebody ask me, how do you do it? Tell them that I'm justified. But the truth to myself, you know,
excellent, and we're back.
Yes, we are.
It is time for the roundtable where we discuss a particular topic.
Yes.
Which really
could be anything from politics to the state of the universe.
Yes.
To music.
Bumblebees. Oh, yes. Music.
Right. Yes. Typically, we stick to music, but this is definitely where we kind of just, as a group, sit down and share ideas, thoughts, or things we've researched. And today, we are going to be talking about the state of rock radio in Toronto right now. And recently I wrote a blog about this topic, but we just haven't had a chance to actually sit down as a group and talk about it. So you're basically hearing us bounce ideas and thoughts off of each other.
This is probably one of our first completely, we're prepared, but we're not like scripted essentially. We don't have a list of things to talk about. We're
just it's not number one, discuss number two. It. Yeah, because it's something we're all extremely familiar with. We all listen to, well, radio in general, but we listen to rock radio because we're all in Toronto. Mm-hmm. We live in the area. And just to give you an idea of why we're talking about this, last week, one of Toronto's classic rock station, the big station, Q107, made some changes to their playlist. On any given day prior to that, you would hear on Q107...
Led Zeppelin, Bryan Adams, Kim Mitchell, obviously.
On air and his songs. You would hear... Electric Light Orchestra. Mm-hmm. You would hear
the BTO.
They had the Beatles Hour. Like, they had anything classic rock that was basically, 1989 and before?
Yeah, maybe even 89 is a bit late. But unless it's something like Rush, where you might hear something a bit more modern, it seemed to be really 80s and earlier. Yeah.
Well, now they've adjusted their playlist, and you are hearing things not only from the 90s, so Nirvana, Temple of the Dog.
Yeah, Temple of the Dog.
There is even like the Headstones or just stuff you would like hear on the edge, like really stuff from the late 90s too. But you're also hearing things like Sloan, you're hearing the Sheepdogs, you're hearing the Black Keys. Mm-hmm. And this came to a lot of people's surprise because of the fact Toronto already has a station, for example, The Edge, that plays things like Nirvana, Temple of the Dog, Soundgarden, Black Keys, the Sheepdogs.
Yeah.
So for Q107 to kind of make this change, a lot of the loyal listeners were really confused.
Mm-hmm.
We were also kind of surprised because of the fact that, like I said, this is happening already, not only with The Edge, but there are stations outside of Toronto that broadcast right into our city, perfect quality, and they include The Rock in Oshawa, Y108 in Hamilton, and Hits FM in St. Catharines.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to mention, again, The Edge that's already in Toronto, and we also have Indie 88.
Yes.
So that's what's happening right now, and the fact that Q107 has started to move into that world of rock and not just be the place you go to hear
The classics.
Yeah. And now, to be very specific, Q107 still doesn't add a new song the second it comes out. So they're not playing the new Black Keys. They're playing Gold on the Ceiling. I think I saw Lonely Boy on there. The Sheepdogs are playing, like, I Don't Know or Feeling Good, but they're not playing something that's currently charting number one. It's just stuff that represents their sound, I guess, Q107 sound or what they're trying to achieve. So, so it's got a lot of reaction, but it really got us to thinking as to what's going to happen with rock radio in Toronto now that you literally, as you're flipping through your dial, you at any given time might hear the same thing.
You could probably hear the Black Keys if the stars aligned 5 times in a row by scanning through. Which, now, you know this better than me, involving pop radio, just as a quick comparison.
Mm-hmm.
How many pop stations are there that broadcast in Toronto?
Would
play, say, the same music? Because it sounds to me like rock is now essentially on the heels of pop when it comes to stations that play the same kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about the interest of rock in Toronto? Because for a while there, people were talking about how rock might be dead.
Yeah.
We even made a comment, I think, in a blog, like, is rock dead or is rock dying?
Mm-hmm.
Which
and there's
was
stations disappearing in other markets.
Yeah, exactly.
Windsor and Chatham lost their rock stations.
Yeah. So what is it about Toronto that rock is such a popular genre?
Go for it.
I have a little comparison.
Yes.
I did a little research. Guess how many rock radio stations there are in New York City. I'm not counting like stations that like would broadcast into it because I'm not, you know, into my New York geography enough. But
6 or 7?
5.
1.
Really?
And it's a classic rock station. In New York City.
That's actually funny because I was last week doing some research on trying to find a rock station because we're working with an American rock band.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, let's listen to some American radio. Literally, New York was the one market I went to, and you're completely right. It was a classic rock station.
Yep.
I was like, how is, because me and you said New York, they would be on the curve of rock music. And I'm trying to remember the city. I got a list of the top 5 stations in the U.S. for active rock. And I'm trying to remember it was like Kansas, or no, it was in Arizona. It was in Arizona, it was Tempe, Arizona, or whatever.
Really?
I would assume also that Detroit would be good.
Detroit might be all right. I know
it
LA
wasn't
has,
on the list that was given
list?
To me.
Yeah, LA has K-Rock.
And again,
K-Rock.
It was someone's opinion, but.
LA has K-Rock.
Which is more of the alt-rock, modern
rock. Alt-rock.
So that's really interesting to know. And then and I think part of the thing with Toronto, of course, this is a market where, you know, out of pretty much the country, out of Canada, we're the ones with the live shows.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the most going on.
And so many venues, just like rock shows every night.
But the one thing is, we in Toronto do not have a rock station based in this city. We have a classic rock station, Q107. We have a modern alt-rock station, The Edge. We have Indie 88 that's even more classified as almost like AAA or indie, modern rock.
Yeah.
Outside of the city,
there's lots
of rock. You've got, like we said, The Rock in Oshawa. You've got Y108 in Hamilton. You've got Hits FM in St. Catharines that play a mix of classic and new.
Now, just to clarify, because a lot of people may be confused, you say we don't have a rock station in Toronto, though we just listed a whole bunch of, quote, rock stations.
Yeah.
So what is the difference between rock? Now, we understand classic rock. That's Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. That's older stuff. What would you say is the difference between rock and, say, alter modern rock?
Well, it's just like looking at the charts.
Yeah.
It's, if Pearl Jam release a new song, you're going to hear it on The Edge. But if Avenged Sevenfold release a new song, you're most likely not going to hear it on modern rock stations, which, again, that's all. We have Q107 that's playing classic rock and rock from the past 2 decades, but it's not new. And then, again, you have The Edge playing all the modern rock, even D8 playing all the modern rock.
Yeah.
In
so,
Toronto, you do not have a station that is playing
balls to the wall, hard rock.
Playing
kind of a stuff.
Rock.
Yeah.
Now, when we go outside of the city, you have, let's look at The Rock in Oshawa, for example. How are they similar to Q107 or The Edge? The one thing I appreciate about The Rock in Oshawa is that they do spin the classic stuff. So you're going to hear your Led Zeppelin, you're going to hear your older Danko Jones tracks, but then they throw in USS, or they throw in Glorious Sons, or they throw in new stuff, and they do not wait to add it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, okay, wait till it's top 5 or whatever. They want to play new music, and they want to be involved in the Toronto scene.
Okay.
So that's what I can appreciate about them, because they're really they are tapping into the Toronto market, and they are aware of the fact that we're missing a station in Toronto.
And it's too bad that they couldn't just move their studio to be here.
Yeah.
And then it would be way easier for, like, they have a lot of bands that go in. And,
yeah, a lot of bands drive out to Oshawa. And yeah, the 401, we all know, is a pain in the butt. But, so they've been tapping into that. Now, Y108 and Hits FM, they do promote shows that are happening in Toronto. So they'll present / promote shows. But they really do stick to their local markets. It's just the fact that they broadcast into our city here in Toronto. So again, if I'm flipping through my dial, I can listen to Y108 and then flip over to Hits FM. And then, and again, now that Q107 is throwing in Black Keys at any time, I can hear Black Keys playing on all of those stations. And now it's making us sit here and go, what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
And what's going to make you as a listener stick with one station?
Now, what do we like to hear in a radio station that makes us want to stick with the station? I know for me, to a degree, it's that there's good personalities that are entertaining me, but that they aren't taking away from the music. Right. So I'm not hearing 3 songs an hour and then 40 minutes of banter and a whole bunch of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
It's that they're keeping me entertained and playing me music.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I like a diversity of sound. So even though Indie 88 might be a modern rock station, the sounds of the songs vary certain amounts, so that always interests me.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up on the Edge. I grew up on the Edge because it broadcast into my small hometown. Mm-hmm. It was the only way we could get rock. So for them, obviously the personalities, you had Humble and Fred and all that kind of stuff back in the day, and they always kept me entertained too.
Mm-hmm.
How about you guys? What would make you choose one station over another, just sort of generally?
I'm also big on the personality. Mm-hmm. I like someone funny. And I still like the local content.
Mm-hmm.
So for Toronto, you know, talking about Toronto shows, who's in town that night is really important to me. But also, if you can talk about a local band, there's one, there's a radio station in London, Ontario, FM 96, and there's a band that's only like played on that station because they're from London, called Bob Noxious.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote a song called EOA, which stands for like a really crappy part of London.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a huge amount of press and like radio play on that just because it's a really funny thing to sing about, like the bad neighborhood, right? And so I really like that they were supportive to that band about that song.
Cool. So local support.
Yeah.
And Amber?
And it's, I think, kind of going on what Ruth said, one of your first points was the selection of music.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have a few stations that are pretty, to an extent, playing a lot of the same variety, for me, it's, I may gravitate towards a station that's going to play things I know I'm not going to hear in an hour.
Yeah.
On one of their, I don't want to say competitors. I guess they are competitors.
Yeah.
But I want to hear, because one person made a good point when I posted my blog, was that on classic rock radio, we want to hear things other than the hits.
Yeah.
If I could hear something other than Rock and Roll or Black Dog from Led Zeppelin and hear like a B-side, or hear one of the tracks that came, like, which is a track in an album, still a famous track. But I'd love to hear things like that. I like hearing Beatles songs that I don't normally, I don't, like, Hey Jude. If I hear Hey Jude or, like, any of that again, I'll flip out. But, you know, so it's the variety in which these rock stations are playing songs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear stuff that I know I'm not going to hear. And the other thing, too, that I really liked, and I made a point, too, was about The Edge. And some of the things they're doing with their hosts and who they're bringing on, like Greg Beharo. He's so entertaining in the sense he's not sitting there and going, hey, yeah, radio, blah, blah, blah. And again, that works for some people. Just for me personally, I'm not a fan of it. And he just uses the listeners as the entertainment and the comedy.
He like creates content live on a show, it sounds like.
Because he's a sharp and funny dude.
Yeah.
Where, and again, to each their own. But for me, I find that entertaining. And I kind of forget that I'm not listening to music at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
I want to know that I, like you say, like the content in which, like in between the music, I want to forget that
I'm not hearing music.
I just want to be entertained. And then music comes on again. I find that when I'm sitting there and I'm going, they're still talking, when is their music? And then a commercial comes on.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there focusing on that rather than
enjoying it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, what what local station, since we're talking mostly to independent musicians and we're talking about rock music, if you are a rock artist from Toronto,
mm-hmm.
how do you would you go about submitting your music, and what station do you think would be more open to at least just hearing music from an independent artist?
You know, it's, I know that Y108, if you're from Toronto, yeah, definitely don't forget about the stations that are outside of the city. So Y108, they have the Indie Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Very supportive of bands that are in the area. If you're, even if you're not from the area, but you're playing in the area, they're still, they can do an interview, they're going to spin your song, that just happened with us. So get familiar with them. I know that Indie 88, supportive of new bands and watching bands grow, and definitely keep them in the loop at how you're doing. And the other station, too, is The Rock in Oshawa. They're very supportive, as I mentioned before, of new tracks, new songs, new bands. This is not to say that Hits FM or The Edge are not, but these, I find with these stations, you're they're adding new music quicker, or they have shows dedicated to that stuff. And it's competitive as hell. So even if I say Indie 88 supports local acts, it's still completely competitive and difficult. But things... Pay attention to things like Indie Hours, or, because I don't know, with The Edge, I know that Bookie's not, he's now at Indie, but at The Edge, Bookie was the person you kind of would get your start with at The Edge. He's kind of your in for Bookie's new music night and things like that. But if you're going to be approaching any of those stations, just pay attention to the programming. So don't just automatically think, I need to be played on these stations. And the other thing, too, Q107 is still doing... And they did before this small change happened, was they do, new artists do covers of classic rock songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had musicians go in there that would never be even played on rock radio in Toronto that have gone in and done covers of like a Joni Mitchell song or Aerosmith or whatever. And it goes up on the website and they do, Rival Sons even went in there and actually went on the Kim Mitchell show and did a cover. And they played a... Rival Sons track, and that's new music that they'd never spin on their station.
Yeah.
So just because they may not spin new music doesn't mean there's an angle you could use.
Yeah.
But for sure, those few stations I mentioned, they're definitely jumping on new music quicker from indie artists.
Sweet. Yeah. I think that's a nice wrap up.
Go
do
team.
Do we have anything else we want to say about anything whatsoever? Final thoughts.
It'll be interesting to see what happens over the next year, I think, because of, and if you haven't heard Q107 yet, just sit and take a listen to it for a couple hours, and
we should do a follow-up.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Yay!
Go podcast.
Thank you for listening to Radio Dale. You can find out more about Dale Speaking at www.dalespeaking.com.
We're also on Twitter at Dale_speaking.
We're also on Facebook. Just look under Dale Speaking.
And email us at radiodale@dalespeaking.com.